The Red Shirt Interviews podcast is a production of the Red Shirt Geeks. Find us at redshirtgeeks.com, where every expendable hero has a home.
Shut up, Wesley.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound of dead Barnes.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Welcome to the Red Shirt Interviews, the show that was so busy injecting guests into our main podcast that we had to split off on its own. As always, we have a wonderful set of guests joining us in each and every episode. Everyone is always welcome, and we appreciate it. I'm Laz D, the pseudo-Kiwi, and with me is...
The Dynamic Dave.
Wonderful. And in this episode, we have a very distinguished guest, Mr. John R. Mangus. Thanks, John. Thanks for being on the show, John. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it as well.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of interviews. Well, what we did the previous con we worked with was SciCon Tampa, which was another one with Richard Hatch. And then we got asked to come in and support with Economicon, which is what this episode is in support of. And we're really appreciative to have you on the show to be able to talk to you. And from what we've seen, I've kind of done my homework over the last day or so on your career. And look, you know, there are some people who have been in a list of movies as long as my arm, and there are some people who have just been in a few. And regardless of how long your credits are, you certainly have a really good pedigree as far as I can tell. And it looks like you've been really busy and you've had some great opportunities.
I have been very fortunate and to be able to work so close to home. I do pick and choose a bit. Fortunately, it's not my only source of income, but I've worked with some fantastic people, and a lot of actors like to say horror stories. I really don't have any. There's not been anyone who hasn't been nice. There's only one person that wasn't super friendly the first time that I spoke with him, and I'm not gonna disparage him on this one, because he tried to be later nice to me later, and I kind of blew him off, so to get him back. But he's a fantastic actor, and his work on Battle Story Galactica has been he could act much better than I could in his sleep, but I can't. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Bruce Willis, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, Mark Wahlberg. I've been very, Rob Coddry. I've been very, very blessed, very fortunate.
What was it like working with Woody Harrelson? I mean, the thing is that it just seems like the guy is, you don't know whether to take it at face value or whether or not you're seeing the real Woody every time you see him on screen.
I was very surprised when I met him. He's almost like that meeting, even though he's not that much older than me, meeting, your date's father or whatever. He's intelligent. He's wise, wisdom as well. He looks you over. He's very careful with what he says, and he really listens to you when you speak. And you have to be careful, because he will remember that. Yeah. And first time I saw him, I asked him about Zombieland, and then he asked me, "Did you like that?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." And why? And then I asked whether there would be a sequel, and he's like, "Not with me." And he talked about the show that they were going to try to do that didn't work out, that he wanted to have nothing to do with. And so he was interesting. And then when I doubled for him, he really, very hands-on. He really approved me very much for that.
It just seems like you've had opportunity to work with a lot of great people. I mean, It was funny. We recorded the latest episode of the Redshirt Geeks podcast last night, and we were going over some of the trailers that had dropped in December, and one of them was Jurassic World, and we're all kind of chomping at the bit to see this movie.
I lost my mind when I saw that you were affiliated with it.
I tell you what, I have been on some interesting productions. I've been very, very fortunate. And my goodness, this was well done. The director, Colin's amazing. Chris was fantastic. Dallas Howard, they treated us really well. I was what's considered special ability, which is Louisiana kind of term for we're not really going to pay you for stunts, but but we had a little military training. I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for this, but I'm what's called a Jurassic World Ranger. I'm their first step, more than the park ranger guys. We're armed, and we have some special weapons that are not for killing, but they can, you know, do some damage. The set is incredible. They built this set in Six Flags in New Orleans that was destroyed from Hurricane Katrina, or in 20 feet of water. I mean, drained, of course, but they built, they absolutely built stores. They built bars. They built restaurants. They built, it looks like Disney World. It's amazing. There's probably, you know what, do you remember the first movie, of course, the Visitor Center? They built the stairs and all that's real.
Wow.
It's the largest set I've ever seen. I guess it's like what they have in LA, you know, with the back lots. Huge, but it's real. I mean, you go in there, they had props, action figures, and, you know, everything. And I'm so excited because when I finished filming that, they took pictures of us and for action figures. And oh my God, I'm such a geek. You know? Even if it's not my name or anything like that, just to have an action figure, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I think really cool. I'll keep an eye out for it, I'm pretty sure. It's funny you said that they spent, you know, they worked and they built this giant set. I remember that this is a trend that we've seen a lot more of lately. I think the first time I can recall seeing a production do something to that level of detail was the Tommy Hanks movie The Terminal, where they literally built part of an airport inside a soundstage, and, you know, replete with, you know, actual stores, you know, from the brand Starbucks, you know, and Burger King and all the other, you know, people are in there. So, and they got in there, and so it's really cool that, you know, they put so, you know, that Jurassic World put so much effort into building these sets, because one of the part of the discussion we had was that, you know, how much of the movie is practical and how much the movie is CG. So to hear you tell us that, you know, they built the park there on site, you know, it's just amazing. Well,
it's amazing. The set is huge, and it had several different sections to it. And, you know, as far as Chris was, as far as the director, we were trained by a Navy SEAL. They went into great detail on the dinosaurs, and, you know, we were given a little information on the different types and, you know, the size of them and what we're looking at and our eye line and everything, because I'm the sharpshooter guy who ends up shooting one of them, and I can't say, but it's really not a good deal to shoot one with a huge crowd of people that flies. And it's just fantastic deal. And if I can tell a quick Chris Pine story with him, he's amazing. One of the people that works on it, I don't want to say the actual title, but
sure,
not the director, but one of the production, came up to him and asked him a question and just made sure he was clarified and all that. And so he comments back, and then he says, "What, you don't read the script?" You know, just trying to be snarky to him. And my goodness, if you did that to some actors, they would really go off and get upset and walk off or whatever. He just plays it off. He's like, no, I never read the script. That would ruin it when I go to see it. Why would he do that?
It's funny you mentioned Chris Pratt. You know, I really, he is a breakout performer and actor. You know, I've been watching a little bit, been catching up on Parks and Rec, yeah. And he's amazing. I'm just like, this is, you know, where has this guy been hiding? He's been under a rock for however long. And then, you know, of course, you know.
Adam Scott said he was the best. When I did, I was a double and stand-in for Rob Kodry on Hot Tub Time Machine 2, if they ever put it out. And I spoke with Adam Scott, who was Park and Rec alumnus.
Nice.
And he just raved about Chris Pratt, and I didn't really know him that much at the time. You know, he's friendly and talented and fit. You know, he really got fit for that movie. You know,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, we loved him in that. These experiences have got to be, I mean, it's great being able to work with these people. But that also, at the same time, you know, that doesn't take away from your ability as well, you know, and your skills and your performances, because, admittedly, you know, I know that some of the roles you've done have been uncredited, or they've just been like little roles, small roles. But at the same time, you know, it's now, I mean, just seeing, having the conversation with you, and looking at your acting pedigree, I'm like, I'm going to go back and rewatch some of these just so I can see you and see you in there, because it's amazing to be able to have these discussions with people who work in the industry. And you know, a lot of people say, you know, working as an actor is really hard. Yes, it is very, very hard. It's because it can be mentally and physically challenging. It means, you know, long periods of time away from your family and loved ones. And things like that. But ultimately, you know, the way I explain it to my wife is that when you do this, yes, it can be a very big challenge to overcome. But ultimately, it makes when you come home that much sweeter, and it also gives you that opportunity to provide them with a life, that you want to provide for them. The other thing is that, you know, I keep saying to her, I said, yeah, it's a ton of work, and it just seems like so much work for what you get out of it. I'm like, you don't understand. There is fun. There's fun in there, because if it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. You know, even in the most serious of productions, you know, there's still fun, because if it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. You have to enjoy what you're doing. You have to, you take some pleasure out of whatever it is, whether it be a comedy or be a drama or be a thriller or whatever it is that, you know, there's some level of excitement and pleasure that you take out of doing anything. Do you find that, that part of that is just the sheer fun of being an actor and a stuntman?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's really fun. It's almost like back in the days of playing sports and all. It's that camaraderie. And, you know, movies are a strange place at making them. And what I mean by that is everyone who's there knows what they're doing, you know, and that's just not really common. You know, there's not, you know, bad burger flippers. They're not going to be there if they can. If they can't do their job, they're not there. It's catch-22. I mean, you're not really going to get hired as an actor until you can already act.
Right.
And it's fun to be around those people. And also, it's fun to, if you have a director or you have a DP, a director of photography, or you have a stunt coordinator that allows these people to express their opinions. And, you know, sometimes it's a 21-year-old production assistant who has a really good idea. And you can go different ways with that. And I like that. I like the professionalism a lot, you know. And I have to give a lot of credit to Michael Papajohn. He is, if you look him up, he's quite an accomplished actor and quite an accomplished stuntman. And he's really helped me a lot. You know, and he basically said, try to go to work and make everybody's job a little bit easier. You know, and that's what I try to do. And fortunately, that kind of attitude, I mean, the first time I was an extra on a set, you know, when they had to pack it up, the holding tent up, you know, I picked up chairs and stuff like that. And, lo and behold, the director walked by and saw it and asked me if I wanted to be do a walk-on and be featured, you know, and I didn't know what that was, so I just said yes.
Whatever it is, yes.
Yes,
as long as it doesn't leave any permanent scars, yes.
Speaking of permanent scars, which did you find more fun? Did you enjoy acting more, or do you enjoy doing the stunts more?
To be honest with you, stunts is so technical, and I would really like a lot more training.
Okay.
You have as much CGI as you want, but if you watch a movie like Captain America, two, when you know the Falcon falls out of a moving vehicle and rolls on the interstate, somebody's really doing that. I've done some jerk stunts, and you know when you get jerked back and through a wall, it may be a prop wall that's you know already pre-cut and all, but you're still getting jerked by a ratchet. Yeah,
still you know, gotta worry about some whiplash.
And you're still gonna be 2 days in the tub, and that's amazing. So I do enjoy that. I didn't know if I'd really enjoy that learning the lines and all that of building a character. I'm not accomplished enough to really, you know, get great characters and understand all those nuances. But I love the studying, you know, and also I love that I have a take on a character and the director has a take and we have to make it work. And even if it's a small part, I mean, all that stuff really matters. You know, Shakespeare's right. As far as small actors, you know, there aren't any. So I like it. If it doesn't become a career that's gainful, and, you know, I've had fun. I'll be an extra again. To be on a set and, you know, treat it well and free food and
I'm sold.
Yeah. I found that experience on The Last Samurai. It was the first movie set I was on.
The original, like Kurosawa, or
Tom.
He thinks you look old.
I am old. Not that old. But the first film that I was on was The Last Samurai. They filmed
that in Virginia, wasn't it?
No, that was filmed in New Zealand, where I live.
Wow.
And so whenever time I watch that movie, I'm like, I know that place. I ate at the fish and chip shop that's right behind that hill. There's all sorts of, but the thing is you're right. You know, there was this wonderful camaraderie. Even the people who were just PAs, you know, they were running around like they're chickens with their heads cut off. But everybody enjoyed what they're doing. Now, I mean, I did want to ask. There's one question I want to ask you about working on NCIS New Orleans, and that was about, you know, what's it like with, you know, did you get a chance to really work that much with Scott Bakula? Because I'm a huge fan of his through both Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise. And, you know, from what I can tell, I mean, again, it's the whole thing with Woody Harrelson. You don't know whether or not he's a sort of a salt of the earth person or whether or not, you know, what you see on screen is, you know, just somebody putting on a persona. You know, what was it like?
I did not get to work with him as much as I would have liked. I mainly worked with his name escapes me. The gentleman who was who did Tokyo Drift from Alabama. He's the third person on that. There's a Zoe character, and I mainly worked with him. I interacted with him a lot. Scott, I did two different experiences on two different days. Very matter of fact, not, some people say he's a little bit abrasive. I didn't find that to be at all. I didn't have any time to chit chat with him because I would have told him I really enjoyed Enterprise as well. I enjoyed him, Quantum Leap, of course, and I also enjoyed him in, Necessary Roughness back in the day.
That's showing your age.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm older than I look. Shave your head, you look younger.
Yeah. Was it Lucas Black you were working with?
Thank you, Lucas Black. I had concussions. But, yeah.
I think you got the IMDb page up as quick as me.
Yeah, Lucas Black was really interesting to work with. And, you know, I asked him about his accent because I knew he had that in in Tokyo Drift. And, yeah, he's really from Alabama.
Wow.
And some people argued and said, like, wow, they're not doing official accents on NCIS. Well, one, they're military people, and they move around all the time, so they're not going to have true New Orleans accents. And two, his character actually is from Alabama, so, you know, I think they've done a great job. And from what I know who cast that, and they know this area and they're local casters.
Right.
This Brent Caballero is CSA, and he'll cast features as well as extras, and principal as well as extras, and they know Louisiana. They know it very well. Just from being on the show, I can tell you they treat people well. They know the area well, and you know, I've been very impressed with NCIS. And Scott Backler was nice. I didn't have any problems with him at all.
That's cool. Now, we've talked a lot about your work in film and such like that, but there is one other you know, area that we've definitely got to touch on, especially because this is about Geekonomic Con. And part of these cons is the proliferation of cosplayers. You know, I noticed from your bio that you have played several roles in different capacities for 20th Century Fox and Lucasfilm in the Star Wars franchise, especially with the most revered 501st. That's amazing. I mean, I see that you played Darth Maul, and it was quite funny.
That was really my start with acting. Even though I had done stuff in college and all, I won a national audition to be Darth Maul for the Ray Parker's film in G.I. Joe 2. So, and then I don't think he would do promos anyway. Really nice guy. But I won the audition to be the L.A. Darth Maul for the premiere when they released it in 2011. And
when we released episode 1 in 3D.
So it was really, really fun. I got to go out there and to LA and you know, we did a European Xbox commercial. We did Lego spots. You know, Brian Held Jr., really, really good guy, did my makeup for that. And you know, they flew us out, and it was Fox at that time, which represented Lucasfilm, and it was top shelf. It was a really, really good experience. And when I got back, they started casting a movie, Escape Plan, and they asked me if I would have any problem being a skinhead racist prisoner, and I'm like, no, not really.
Is there a paycheck that comes with it? Yep, great, fantastic.
Yes, I'm not a real racist, but I played one in a movie. So.
I'm not a racist, but I play one on TV. That's isn't that the line? I mean, look, if they can get Ed Norton to put a swastika on, I'm sure that's.
Jeez, yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
So that was really, really the start, and I still try to keep my affiliation with the 501st. I do every year to help get tickets. Thank you, Disney. For my children to go to Disney, we march with the 501st at Star Wars Weekends, which is expanded. That's at Walt Disney World, which is expanded now that Disney owns Lucasfilm. And so we do the parades and, you know, character meet and greets at Disney, and that's the Hollywood Studios. And nice. That's a fun experience. So I don't, as a cosplay person, and I've done modeling for some of the higher-end costume companies, I don't really have promote that as much, but I do like cosplay. I like building, you know, the props. I built a lot of the guns and the costumes and blasters, what have you. I enjoy that. I enjoy working, you know, with my hands and doing that. So the 501st and the Rebel Legion are fantastic organizations. Rebel Legions are the good guys.
Right.
501st is the Empire, the cool ones.
Well, it's just really cool to see that you've been so involved I like to say on both sides of it, you know. Here at Richard Geeks, you know, one thing that we do is we're all nerds of different kinds, and some of us are Trek nerds like me, and some are Star Wars nerds.
Yeah.
And one thing that we do a lot of is we celebrate our differences. You know, we give each other a lot of smack talking about about the different franchises and such. We're all fans in the end, and it's really great that you know, speaking of being, you know, celebrating differences. You know, you're going to be at Comic Con on, you know, on the coming weekend, at the 12th to the 14th, and you know, I think it's going to be a real good opportunity, a real good experience for you to one, also, you know, to be able to talk about your acting and stunt experiences, but also to immerse yourself in everything that's going to be around there. Because, you know, one thing that's really fantastic about cons is that it is absolutely flush with people who are fans of something. I attended my first con. It was actually our first one. It was my first one, but you know, I pretended with another members of the Richard Geeks when we went to the Tidewater Comic Con not long ago. What, say probably 6 weeks ago we went.
I think it was October 18th.
Yeah, that's it. And great, yeah. And
don't become a stuntman. That'll go.
They'll knock it out of you.
They will knock it out of you.
But one thing I really noticed is that, I mean, there were a ton of people there, and there were some people there were just you know, casual, just having fun there to see what's going on. And there are people there who have planned well in advance of being there, and they went through a lot of effort to do their costumes and such. We saw some wonderful. I got a great picture of a guy who did a full Darth Vader outfit. We saw some guys there who did Ghostbusters. They were wearing custom made Ghostbusters outfits.
That's a good group. Ghostbusters. They're a big charity organization. Pretty much everything they do is charity, and I love that aspect of 501st. I mentioned off air before that. Adrienne Curry, really the model and actress, really helped. You know, we did shoot a trooper, they call it Blast a Trooper now, with the 501st, and raised money for my niece who had a leukemia, and it was at St. Jude. And it's just, it's amazing how those organizations will come together, and it costs so much money to make these costumes, and yet they go there and they, like this year, I participated with the Rebel Legion and the 501st to Toys for Tots with the United States Marines, and we raised, you know, a lot of presents, over $2,300 in one day of presents for needy children. I mean, if we can use our geekdom to help out and make a difference, then, you know, that's great, you know, because the only difference between, you know, us and when we were 10 years old is now we have a little bit bigger pocketbook.
Now it's not so much imaginary pretend. It's for real pretend.
Exactly. I used to. I tried to tell my son before. You know, I had a dinosaur. God, I wish I could remember the name of him. But he's like the duckbill type dinosaur model. And so, man, I glued all kind of cotton balls on him and painted him and made him into a tauntaun, you know?
Nice.
I just pretty quiet, you know, 18-inch tauntaun or whatever, but, you know, I made my tauntaun, you know?
That's right. It was all,
awesome.
Yeah. And clay horns and everything. It was awesome.
Wow, you put a lot of effort into it.
I really did.
Well, again, it's really awesome to see that you not only immerse yourself in the world of film, you also, you know, you take time to work with other organizations that, again, I go back to that, it celebrates the differences in all of us, and that's largely what these cons are about, and it's also what Redshirt Geeks are about. You know, we do very much celebrate, it doesn't matter what your geek level is of something, if it's a passion for you, then it's a passion for us as well. So, it's been a wonderful experience being able to talk to you, John.
Thank you.
You know, I cannot wait for the opportunity to talk to you again. I'm sure that we are going to have to find a way to get you back onto our show and talk to you some more, because I know that I could probably go over your entire list, your acting list, and talk about every project that you worked on just to pick your brain. But Again, thank you so much for being with us on this episode. As such, you know, all good things must come to an end, and that's where this episode is going to close. That's all the time we have, and thank you for being here with us on the Red Shirt Interviews.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Lars. Thank you very much, Dave. I love your shirt, Dave.
Thanks, BBR.
That's right. Beer for the win. That's right.
That's a gift that keeps on giving.
I would have worn my Red Shirt Geeks, but I thought, you know what? Hey, let's fly old blue today. But yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the last two Star Trek movies, and I think Mr. Abrams will do and Bad Robot will do a good job with Star Wars. So, you know,
I believe so.
I'm of course, you know, after seeing episodes one more specifically,
yeah.
You know, I'm apprehensive. As I believe all Star Wars fans are, but you know, from the trailer that came out and some of the clips we got to see, I definitely think it's going to be a fun movie.
It is. I mean, as many people have lampooned Episode One and the prequels, I mean, we got Darth Maul. I mean,
that's yeah, definitely. Eighth,
you know, got
for all 5 minutes that we saw him in that movie.
Yes, same. you know, and I understand very much the canon issues with the new Star Treks, but they were fun, entertaining movies, you know, and looking forward to them, you know, having them making a third. Do you think that's gonna happen?
I saw that I think they announced yesterday that Robert Orci had stepped down, and to be honest with you, I was kind of glad because it's no secret that I'm not a fan of the of J.J. Abrams movies. Primarily not because they weren't good movies, but primarily because I felt they were the wrong direction for the franchise, and a lot of it came down to you mentioned canon. I felt that there were areas that just didn't need to be changed because it didn't do anything for the story. If they'd made the story better or made it more interesting, I felt it maybe okay would have been all right. But you know what was happened is they took this stance of rebooting the franchise and creating an event that will allow them an opportunity to go in a wholly different direction, and they didn't. They chose to kind of go down an already carved path, and they kind of just made changes along the way to sort of suit the story. No, I mean, that's just how I felt about it. I just didn't.
It's almost like, really, in some ways, I enjoyed them for the, you know, enjoyment factor, but not as a true Star Trek fan. It was really interesting to me. It was almost like a reimagining. You know, we're going to take, you know, when Spock dies, but this time we're going to make it, you know, Kirk. And so it was interesting how they did that. I understand as a true fan. I mean, that would be like all of a sudden you're going to change it and make Han blow up the Death Star. I mean, that fundamentally changes the universe that is, but that's what they did when they did the time travel. Supposedly, I don't know if this is true, this is hearsay, but supposedly when Lucas sold the rights to Bob Iger for Disney, he said he wanted absolutely no time travel. You know, and that was before J.J. Abrams. He wanted no time travel in Star Wars, which pretty much has been, I know it's really cool for a lot of movies and Terminator and all, which Terminator Genesis was filmed in Louisiana as well.
It does.
That's how the Facebook thing today is. We're all excited about the Star Wars, Jurassic Park, and Terminator, you know, trailers. What year is this?
Exactly.
Right. Hey, it's a good time, and it's a great time to be involved in movies. And if you come to Geekonomicon and see one of my panels, I'm doing one with Jim Aurea and the stunt acting. But I'm doing one on just how to be a background person, how to be an extra in a movie and, you know, have fun and what's involved in it. And I love it. And, you know, to be there and, have these stories and meet these people. And they're wonderful. You know, it's a good experience. It's good for the economy, all the people that work. You know, it's just a good time.
There's so many people who get put to work and do these things. When there's a budget of over $1 million, there are so many people that get put to work in that, and you're right, it is fantastic for the economy.
It really is, and such professionalism. you know, it's amazing. I remember being on a set of Escape Plan, and we're supposed to be on a ship, and it's all plywood, this one set, but they went there, and the set, the creators, they made it look like metal. The plywood looks like metal, and honestly, to being a foot away from it, it looks like metal. They painted screws into it, and rivets, and you look at it, and you're like, wow, that's not real. You know, and they caulked it, and they caulked it gray, and they painted it to look like it was the, you know, a weld. I mean, it was just the talent, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much for your time in discussing it. I could go on forever talking to you about all this stuff, and I'm sure we'll be having you back again. That is all the time we have for this episode. This has been the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz D, the Pseudo-Kiwi. Be sure to check out our website at redshirtgeeks.com.
I'm the Doubly Dynamic Dave. Make sure you guys check us out on YouTube.
Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.